From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
And a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia. As always, it is a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, we do repeat the program on those same nights at 10 p.m. and heard on all of our other audio platforms as well as our video platform at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. And we're also broadcasting a video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/domesticchurchmedia. So, my friends, I pray you're having a blessed, happy, and a holy day. And I thank you for taking some time out of your day and the busyness of your day to share this hour with me and all of our family. It is a lovely day out today, March 12th, 2024. Still a little breezy, but the sun is shining, the sky is blue, and spring is in the air. So I hope you're enjoying this beautiful day. We're going to share with you a teaching from our Holy Father on Friday of last week. The heart of repentance is God's infinite love and boundless mercy. So we'll hear from Holy Father on that. And then also, my friends, we're going to go to a little reflection by Father Fernandez from In Conversation with God on today's gospel. So we'll share that with you as well. But before we do that, my brothers and sisters, we are going to pray. And as always, I do invite you to join me and all of our family gathered here in prayer to pray for your special intentions, whatever they are. And we include all of those intentions. But we're praying this particular prayer, which is a deliverance prayer for our family, really ourselves, our spouse, our minor children. And then we call upon Almighty God to cast out the evil that may be affecting our adult children. So whatever your prayer intention is, my friends, we raise it up at this time as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And again, this prayer is a deliverance prayer that we can pray for ourselves and our spouse and our minor children because we have authority over ourselves and our own bodies and over our spouse and our minor children. But we also call upon the Lord to cast out evil that may exist affecting our adult children. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent. And I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my brothers and sisters, those special intentions now we raise up and bring them to the throne of Almighty God. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. And we'll pray our prayers now, my friends, to Saint Michael and to our Blessed Mother, the beautiful ancient Sub Tuum Praesidium prayer that Holy Father Pope Francis asked the faithful to pray every single day. These two particular prayers to pray to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. And you know, yesterday, in case you didn't, you could have begun, and if you didn't, start today. The Lord's not counting days. The novena to Saint Joseph. You know, a week from today, we'll be celebrating the feast, the solemnity of Saint Joseph. And very powerful novena. I didn't post it. I probably should post it on our website or something. But it is, if you Google novena to Saint Joseph and go to the EWTN website, it'll take you there. It's a very powerful novena that we began yesterday. And if you can, again, if you didn't start yesterday, that's okay. Start today. Again, the Lord's not going to count the days. Just start praying. And for all of your special intentions, Saint Joseph, very powerful. And we're praying, my friends, for a very, very heartfelt and special family intention, going to Saint Joseph. And if you can, again, just Google novena to Saint Joseph, and I'll try to post it on our website. Maybe I'll put an e-blast out there with a link to it. For all of your special intentions, of course, for the Church, you know, Saint Joseph is the protector of the Church. But if you would, throw in a little extra prayer or extra intention for Cheryl and me and our very special intention that we're bringing to Saint Joseph. But I don't have the whole novena here, but we will pray the Memorare to Saint Joseph. Again, a very powerful prayer. We'll pray it today, tomorrow, and Thursday while I'm with you. We'll pray it on Friday, too, at Friday Live. But we're going to St. Joseph in a special way for many, many intentions. One particular family intention, and also for Domestic Church Media and our apostolate and our upcoming Spring Radiothon Easter week. So a lot to pray for. So let's pray to St. Joseph this beautiful Memorare. Remember, O most chaste spouse of the Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who implored your help and sought your intercession was left unassisted. Full of confidence in your power, I fly unto you and beg your protection. Despise not, O guardian of the Redeemer, my humble supplication, but in your bounty hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, my friends, I thank you so very much for joining me today and praying together. You know, St. Joseph is a very powerful intercessor. He's been a very special patron of mine for many, many years. Our oldest son is named Joseph in honor of St. Joseph. My grandfather's name was Joseph. I'm sure many of you listening, watching right now, either yourselves or Joseph or Josephine, or have, especially if you're Italian, you have Josephs in your family. But, you know, in today's world that is so in volatile situation right now, there's so many possibilities of all kinds of stuff that can really, really go wrong. We know that God is in charge, and we know that St. Joseph, who's the protector of the universal church, the patron of a happy death, the patron of workers, of fathers, of families. It's the protector of the Holy Family. You know, Father Groeschel used to tell that little silly joke. He said, imagine the humility that St. Joseph must have had, you know, at the breakfast table every morning, sitting across from the Incarnation and the Immaculate Conception. And there he is, head of the family. But Almighty God chose him to be the protector of the Messiah, of the Blessed Mother, of the Holy Family, head of the Holy Family. And we go to him in a special way, especially this month as we approach his feast day next week, in a special way to ask him. And I encourage you to go to St. Joseph for your special intentions. And as I said, we are praying so hard right now, our family is, for a very special intention. But also, and we've done this before when we have our spring radiothons, because it does usually come around near the Feast of St. Joseph. This year, of course, it's Easter week. Thanks be to God. Glory to God. Our spring radiothon, which we need to have. We need you to help us and get the word out there, spread the word. We need Catholic media. We need these Catholic radio stations. We need to keep proclaiming this beautiful message of salvation, and especially during the radiothon, Easter week, Easter Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, April 3rd, 4th, and 5th, as we celebrate the resurrection, to proclaim that message. You know, I was watching, you know how these little reels pop up if you have Facebook? Every now and then these reels pop up, these little short, and I'm happy to see a lot of them. Mother Angelica comes up with little teachings, Bishop Sheen and others. But there was one that popped up the other day it was an interview with the entertainer Bob Dylan. I didn't know Bob Dylan was still alive. Forgive me, I thought he had gone home, but apparently he's still alive. There was an interview with Bob Dylan asking him, the interviewer asked him, to what does he attribute all his success after all these years? And he's been around since the early 1960s, right? That's over 60 years. And is influential in certain areas of the music industry and the population. And he said, many years ago, I gave it all to the ruler of this world. And the interviewer kind of questioned. And he said, God? And he said something to the effect of, without acknowledging that at all, just said no. He didn't say no. He just said, to the ruler of this world. And, you know, those of you who remember Father Carapi, God bless Father Carapi, who had a major impact on the church in the 1990s. We used to, you know, on our radio station, he was the most impactful teacher on the radio station. In the church, you know, and on EWTN. Unfortunately, there was an accusation, and he denied, and he was taken out of public ministry. It's my understanding he is back now. I can't quote any particular individual, but it's my understanding that he's back now in a monastic life. No more public speaking. He's just in a monastic life. But he said, you know, his story was an incredible story. He had been a very, very successful, wealthy entrepreneur, businessman, real estate mogul that developed into a $10,000 a week cocaine habit. He lost everything. You know, if those of you who know him know his story. I mean, he was living on the streets. And finally, he had a conversion, reversion, really. He had been raised Catholic. He grew up in upstate New York, and it was in Orrisville at the shrine of the North American Martyrs, where he made a confession after his first confession after 20 years. And he said it was this older priest sitting on a porch at the shrine there of the North American Martyrs, and Father made his confession. And the priest said, after all was said and done and absolved and him, and the priest said to him, I think you're going to be a priest. After having just heard this 20-year confession. I mean, he was hanging around John Belushi. He was at the party the night that John Belushi overdosed on drugs. That's But he did say when he was in that lifestyle, and he didn't say what the band was, but he said it was a very popular and famous rock and roll band that were finishing up their an album they were recording. And Father Crappie, this is before he was a priest, obviously. He was in his, you know, crazy life, sinful lifestyle. He was in the recording studio, and he said, and he would preach this when he would teach later on as a priest, he never said who they were, but he said, this very popular, very famous, very successful rock band, on completion of this album they had just recorded, dedicated it to Satan. It's very real, my friends. It's very real. Satan's influence in the world has infiltrated every aspect of our society. And he's coming to the heart of our culture. He's coming for the basic cell of society, and that is the family. So we have to pray. And we pray this deliverance prayer. And somebody may think, why are you praying that prayer? We have to. If we think that Satan has no influence over this world, we're fooling ourselves. Jesus said he is the prince of this world, Satan. Satan is the prince of this world. He's the father of lies. He wants to destroy families. He wants to separate, fracture, divide, because the family is the basic cell of society. So I encourage you, pray for your families. Pray that our Blessed Mother wraps her loving blue mantle around your home, your children, your grandchildren, you and your spouse, your parents. We have to stay far away from him, you know, and we see through drug addiction, abuse, divorce, abortion, contraception, all these things that are affecting family life today and having an adverse, ill effect that's destroying families. Division. The division in families today is horrible. Horrible. So we have to pray. That's why we're praying this prayer of deliverance. That's why I encourage you now, especially between now and next Tuesday. We just prayed the Memorare to St. Joseph. Just Google Memorare to St. Joseph, Novena to St. Joseph. Start praying. He's so powerful, especially as a protector of families. We have to go to him. And again, I'm asking you, please, if you can, two intentions that you would remember of ours. Of course, Domestic Church Media and our Radiothon Easter week, because we need these radio stations on the air. We need to continue to broadcast on all of these platforms, and also very, very special intention of our family. We really would appreciate that. Let me go to Holy Father. This was Friday, where he was talking about the season of Lent, obviously, and talking about the heart of repentance being God's infinite love and boundless mercy. The Holy Father underscored the richness of the sacrament of confession and the importance of confession. Now, we have a few weeks before Easter. If you haven't been, please make every effort to get to confession. And he said that the richness of the sacrament is seen in the act of contrition, a testament to God's mercy and love. Holy Father said repentance is neither the fruit of self-analysis nor a psychic sense of guilt, but arises entirely from an awareness of our wretchedness in the face of God's infinite love, his boundless mercy. When we go to confession, my friends, we're going with a humble and contrite heart. We're telling the Lord, not the priest. We're telling Jesus, because the priest is there in persona Christi. We're telling Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. And make a firm purpose of amendment to sin no more. Now, we're a fallen, weak nature. And we need to make every effort to stay away from sin. Holy Father, he was speaking to the Apostolic Penitentiary, one of the three main tribunals of the Holy See and responsible for dealing with the deeply sensitive matters related to the conscience of individual Catholics. The castry is also charged with the formation and staffing of confessors appointed in the papal basilicas. And it's been described by our Holy Father, Pope Francis, as the tribunal of mercy. He centered his talk on the act of contrition, the prayer, of course, that we recite during the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And while its language, he said, may be somewhat old-fashioned, he expressed that it's a simple and rich prayer built upon three main pillars: repentance, trust, and resolve. The Holy Father explained that the first pillar, or attitude of repentance, is characterized by the words, "O my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee." O my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee. He said it is the recognition of our wretchedness in the face of God's infinite love, which creates an experience that moves our soul to ask him for forgiveness, confident in his fatherliness. And the Holy Father noted that the sense of sin is proportional precisely to the perception of God's infinite love. The more we feel his tenderness, the more we desire to be in full communion with him, and the more the ugliness of evil in our life becomes apparent to us. You know, this time of year especially, this beautiful season of Lent, we see more of these penance services, extra confessions being heard. It's a time to return to the Lord, to look at ourselves and look at our own sinfulness. And we all are sinners. Anybody who says, "I don't sin," is a liar, St. John says. Everybody. The only human being who could say that when she walked the earth is Blessed Mother. She was free from original sin and free from personal sin. Jesus, of course, being both God and man, never sinned. But Our Lady is fully human, but conceived without the stain of original sin and remained sinless throughout her life on earth. She's the only person who could ever say, I have not sinned. Every other person is a sinner. Every other person who's walked this earth is a sinner. We're of that fallen nature. The remnants of our original sin, although washed away by the sacrament of baptism, the remnants are there. We lean, we tend towards sin, concupiscence, the church defines it as. So we know we sin. And when we do sin with a well-formed conscience, and we talked about this last week, you know, to keep our consciences well-formed so we are aware of right and wrong, and we are aware of when we sin, and we're all guilty. I'm including myself. I'm not putting myself outside this category. Believe me, I need confession bad on a regular basis. And the more we understand that and we recognize our own sinfulness, the more we understand that God's mercy awaits us. All we have to do is go to him. Now, if we commit venial sins, you know, we can be forgiven our venial sins through acts of charity, through saying a sincere act of contrition, Holy Communion. You know, those sins can be forgiven if in our own contrition. You know, at Holy Mass, we have many opportunities before we receive Holy Communion to be forgiven of those sins, the penitential rite, where we acknowledge our sin and we ask for God's forgiveness. That will wash away the venial sins. But if we are aware of mortal sin, of being in the state of mortal sin, we must go to sacramental confession before receiving the Eucharist, because that is a sacrilege. That is another mortal sin on top of a mortal sin. We talked about this last week. But the more aware we are of our own sinfulness, and, you know, so many of us fall into habitual sins, the same sin over and over again, perhaps, gossip, anger, unrighteous anger, unjustified anger, you know, I mean, or detraction, calumny, you know, whatever it is. We become more aware, you know, because sacramental confession, not only are our venial and mortal sins forgiven, But we receive that beautiful sanctifying grace every time we receive the sacraments. And the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation, we'd receive that wonderful gift of sanctifying grace that sanctifies us. You know, and I've used this analogy. I don't like to because the whole COVID thing is over as far as I'm concerned. But when they were pushing the vaccine and the booster and the booster and the booster to build up your immunity, I had other ideas of how to do that. And but anyway, when you receive this beautiful sanctifying grace, that's what you're doing. You're building up an immunity to sin. It may not be completely effective. You know, you're probably going to still go to sin, but it's going to make you more aware of that and give you more strength and grace to avoid those near occasions of sin, to be more aware of your own sinfulness and the things that we say and do that maybe we thought 10 years ago wasn't sinful, and we realize now, hey, that is a sin. Well, the Holy Father said this awareness, which can be thought of as a repentance or contrition, is the catalyst for self-reflection and conversion. And he noted, let us remember that God never tires of forgiving us. And on our part, let us never tire of asking forgiveness. You know, one of the great lies of the devil is that he will convince us, or try to convince us, that any given particular sin, and usually those sins that are habitual sins, that we can't be forgiven anymore. You know, there's a limit to God's forgiveness. Absolutely not. Don't let him convince you of that. There's no limit to God's forgiveness. God's mercy is endless. His mercy is forever. Holy Father said, building upon the centrality of God's love in the sacrament, that for priests, it's beautiful to hear on the lips of a penitent the acknowledgement of both God's infinite goodness and his primacy in one's own life of love for him. To love above all else, the Holy Father said, means to place God at the center of everything as the light on the path and the foundation for every order of values, entrusting everything to him, and this is a primacy that inspires every other love. And the Holy Father united this reflection on God's love and mercy with the third principle of resolve, which is a fundamental component that allows for attrition to transform into contrition. Reading from the act of contrition, I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to sin no more. And the Holy Father says, this is an intention, not a promise. None of us can promise to God to sin no more, and what is required to receive forgiveness is not a guarantee of impeccability, but a current resolve, that firm purpose of amendment made with a righteous intention at the moment of confession. At that moment, I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to sin no more and, what, to avoid the near occasion of sin. Again, the devil, the great temptor, knows our vulnerabilities, knows our weaknesses. He knows exactly when we are most vulnerable and to what we are most vulnerable. And he will come at us, as will the world and the flesh. Let's not give all the dirty credit to the devil. But in confession, when we pray that act of contrition, I firmly resolve, what, with the help of thy grace, that beautiful sanctifying grace we're receiving here, that helps us in our immunity to sin, with the help of thy grace, to sin no more. I firmly resolve at that moment, I'm resolving, not promising. Remember, Holy Father, we're not promising God anything. We are making this resolve to sin no more at that moment and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Stay away from it. You know, as Augustine, I believe, who said, the devil is like a vicious dog on a short chain. He can bark and growl and snarl, but he can't hurt you unless you get too close. So you know and I know what our vulnerabilities are. You know our weaknesses. We know our own weaknesses. We know what to stay away from. We know what to avoid. And we must do that And this beautiful sanctifying grace that we receive helps us to do that because we have a greater and a better awareness of it. I'll take a break. When I come back, we're going to talk about today's gospel, lovely reflection by Father Fernandez in Conversation with God. You stay right where you are, my friends. I'll be right back. Don't go away. Have you downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune into our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the liturgy of the hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything. At all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. I've carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people, question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine, only become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
March 12th, 2024, lovely day outside, sky is blue, the sun is warm, a little breeze, but that's okay. And also, you know, I forgot to mention, if you would also keep in prayer, our daughter, Angela. Today's her birthday. And those of you who have been to our concerts the past couple of years have heard and seen Angela perform, and she's growing up very fast. We can't believe we have three children all in their early to mid-30s. Hey, wow. Anyway, happy birthday, Angelina. Keep singing. So today's gospel, which, by the way, I hope you have your free Domestic Church Media mobile app. If you haven't downloaded, please do. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Go to your app store, whether you have an iPhone or an Android or Google, whatever. Go to your app store, search for Domestic Church Media, and download it. And the daily readings are in there. And I'm going to go to it right now to pray today's gospel for Tuesday of the fourth week of Lent. And then we'll get to the reflection by Father Fernandez. But there's so many other things on there. Of course, you can listen and watch all of our programs. You can stream the radio station. All kinds of prayers in there. The Liturgy of the Hours is in there. The Catechism, the Bible. And it's all free. So go to your app store and search for Domestic Church Media, and then download it. We have had almost 3,000 downloads of our app around the world. Around the world. Imagine that. Majority of them, of course, are here in the U.S. But, I mean, I'll have to go. I haven't been probably in 2 or 3 months to see where else. Last I saw, and I've been saying this, and it's a fact, that our free mobile app has been downloaded on every continent except Antarctica. It's been downloaded a number of times in Israel, believe it or not, but also parts of the world where Christianity is not very popular. So there are people kind of on the underground who may be listening right now and praying with us. You just don't know. So anyway, it's free, and you can listen to our programs. We have our archives. Our website you can access from there with our archived audio programs, and also our YouTube channel, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. And you can watch on your phone or tablet the programs that we do broadcast on YouTube, like this one right now. And they're also archived. You can watch them at any time, a video on demand. So all kinds of stuff, my friends. I do hope you do that. And also, please, 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 our Radiothon, a spring radiothon, our annual spring radiothon, which is our biggest fundraiser of the year, April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. That's Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday. And remember that within the octave of Easter, you know, we have Easter Sunday, and within the octave, those 8 days, every day is an Easter day, just like Christmas. It's one long 8-day day. And so we're going to come to you on Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, and Easter Friday with our annual Spring Radiothon and invite you to, as you do every year so generously, support this work so we can keep these airwaves open, especially these days, to the gospel message. Can't do it without you. Keep that in prayer as well. So let's go to today's gospel. And this is from John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take up and walk?'" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in today's reflection by Father Fernandez in Conversation with God, again, I've been using this series. It's a series of seven books, seven volumes, and it covers every day of every liturgical year and the readings. And it's not just a, you know, one or two paragraph. It's about three or four pages, small pages. It's a smaller book, but very, very easy to read and understand because it's at a very remedial level. So it's not over our heads, over theological in any way. Many, many wonderful quotes and references through the holy men and women of our church, popes, etc., scripture, catechism, council documents. So if you don't, it's a nice, great Easter present for someone. It's about $100 you pay for it in on Amazon or through any good Catholic outlet. In Conversation with God. Not Conversation with God. It's In Conversation with God. Anyway, let's read Father Fernandez's reflection today, some of it. We won't get through the whole thing. The gospel of today's Mass tells us about a man who has been ill for 38 years. And who was hoping for a miraculous cure from the waters of the pool of Bethesda. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man replied in all simplicity, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." Of course, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And the paralytic obeyed, and at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Father writes this, "The Lord is always willing to listen to us and to give us whatever we need in any situation." Listen carefully. The Lord is always willing to listen to us and to give us whatever we need in any situation. His goodness is always in excess of our calculations. But it requires a corresponding response on our part with a desire to get out of the situation we're in. There can be no pact with our defects and errors, and we must make the effort to overcome them. We cannot ever get used to the shortcomings and weaknesses which separate us from God and from others on the excuse that they are part of our character or that they have already tried several times over to tackle them without positive result. It's the heart which moves us to improve in our interior dispositions through the conversion of the heart to God and to works of penance, thus preparing our souls to receive the graces God wishes to grant us. Now, again, we're talking about conversion, repentance, and penance, and the grace that God wishes to grant us. Jesus asks us to persevere in the struggle and to begin again as often as necessary, realizing that it is in struggle that love grows. St. John Chrysostom, in a homily, said the Lord does not ask the paralytic in order to learn, this would be superfluous, but to make his patience known to all, for that invalid for 38 years had hoped, without ceasing, to be freed from his illness. Now, many of us, my friends, have been praying a long time for particular things and hoping, asking the Lord for a particular answer to prayer, maybe haven't received it yet. But St. John Chrysostom reminds us that the Lord does not ask the paralytic in order to learn, this would be superfluous, but to make his patience known to all. Because that person, an invalid for 38 years, had hoped without ceasing to be freed from that illness. And Father Fernandez says, our love for Christ is shown in our decisiveness and in the effort to make to root, in the effort we make to root out as soon as possible our dominant defect or to obtain a virtue which seems to us difficult to practice. But it is also shown in the patience which we exercise in the ascetical struggle. It is possible that the Lord will ask us to struggle over a long period, perhaps 38 years, to grow in a particular virtue or to overcome that particular negative aspect of our interior life. So we wonder, and it's like the age-old question, why did God allow this to happen to me? I've been praying for this intention for years. Why is he making me wait so long? You've prayed that prayer. I pray that prayer. St. Monica prayed that prayer. The paralytic prayed that prayer. Why? Why so long? What's taking you, Lord? Not to be fresh, but sometimes we get to that point. And Father reminds us, it's shown in the patience which we exercise. It is possible that the Lord will ask us to struggle over a long period, perhaps 38 years, like this paralytic, to grow in a particular virtue. Think about your situation. I think about mine. Things we've been praying for, hoping for, waiting for, that's just not happening. Is the Lord asking me to work in a particular virtue? Patience, perhaps? Charity? Humility? Or to overcome a particular negative aspect of our interior life? We know, and it's always hard, again, through our weak, mortal, finite understanding of God's actions, that God will always, and the operative word there is always, always bring out a greater good from something bad that happens. Always. Nothing happens without Almighty God allowing it to happen. His permissive will. Why am I struggling in this particular area? Why am I having to go through this physical ailment or illness, why, whether it be an emotional or financial or spiritual, whatever the difficulty is that I personally am going through, God is allowing it. To give our will up to His and say, Lord, just as Jesus said in the garden, knowing exactly what was going to happen to Him within the next few hours, Lord, if you can, please let this cup pass. But not my will, but your will be done. We never would have gotten to Easter Sunday if we didn't have a Good Friday. For Christians, we believe this. We do everything we possibly can to accept it, especially when we're going through a Gethsemane or a Good Friday. But there will always be an Easter Sunday. And through that, an eternal Easter in heaven with Almighty God. It's hard and difficult at times to understand it and accept it, especially when we're in the thick of it. Father Fernandez says, a well-known spiritual author has taught the importance of being patient with one's own defects so as to develop the art of profiting from one's faults. We ought not to be surprised or disconcerted when, having used all the means reasonably within our reach, we have not managed to reach the goal we had set ourselves. We must not simply get used to it, but use our faults to grow in true humility, in experience and maturity of judgment. The man in the gospel in today's Mass presents to us was constant over 38 years, and we may suppose that he could have so continued to the end of his days. The reward for his constancy was, above all, the meeting with Jesus. And you know, and I know, my friends, that when we go through these challenges, these difficulties in life, as people of faith, what's the first thing we do? We get down on our knees, if not physically, certainly spiritually, and Lord, help me. And we go to the Lord more probably than we would have had we not been experiencing the things that we are in our difficulties. That's the first great fruit, is going to the Lord more. Again, we go back to, and I've used this example many times. I can't believe it's almost 25 years ago, but you know, when we had the horrible attacks on 9/11 in New York City, the late Mayor Koch, who was not Catholic, he was Jewish. When that happened, and when it was, everybody realized what exactly was happening, as an attack on our country, on the World Trade Center. His first thought was, and he was up in Midtown Manhattan, he had an apartment there, I guess he lived there. My first thought was, being a Jewish man, my first thought was, he says, to get to St. Pat's. You couldn't get into St. Patrick's Cathedral on September 11th, 2001. Packed. That's where people went. Because the horror of what was happening downtown, the reality of what had happened downtown, was like a punch in the gut. Everyone said, you know where you got to go. You're not going to go to Hollywood and do a movie. You're not going to go read some book. You're not going to turn on the television and look for a comedy show, you're going to St. Patrick's. You're going to go to Almighty God and say, please help us. And in our own life, my friends, whether it be through difficulties in life, whether it be situations that we find ourselves in, or spiritually, Lord, I feel nothing. I'm feeling dry in my prayer. But to say those words is a prayer in itself. To let God know. You know, Mother Teresa had 50 years of the dark night of the soul. You would never have known it through her words and actions and teachings. But she was suffering interiorly. God allowed it. God permitted it. Anything that we experience, God permits. Nothing is beyond God. No one is greater than God. And the devil will God will only allow to come to us, in spite of the devil, will only allow to come to us what we can handle, and will always give us the grace to handle it. Like today's character in the gospel, the paralytic man for 38 years waiting for a healing. 38 years hoping that someone would take him down to the stirred waters. And when Jesus saw him, all Jesus had to say was, take up your mat and walk. And he did. And Jesus comes to us today, whatever our struggles are. Maybe we've been praying for 38 years for a particular intention. Maybe we've been suffering emotionally over a family issue for the past number of years. Our adult children who have left the church is a constant ache in our heart. A broken marriage. Financial difficulties. Whatever the situation is, as people of faith, we pray unceasingly, as St. Paul instructs us. Pray always. And we pray that one day Jesus will come to us and say, take up your mat and walk. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to see? Do you want to walk? And he will. It may not be in our time, in our timeline. You know, again, I read one time in conversation with God that God's timing is perfect. He's never late. At the exact moment where the goal has been accomplished, for whatever reason we had to wait, and that goal is accomplished and the waiting is over, the timing is perfect. Perfect. Because it's God's timing. Have a great rest of your day, my friends. A beautiful day. Hey, the sun's setting an hour later, so get out and enjoy some of this sunshine today. And I'll be with you again tomorrow, God willing. Thanks for being a part of my day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. God bless you, and God love you.